I'm Deshaun Davis, former Auburn Tigers football player and all-SEC linebacker. You're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back into the program. You're listening to Sports Call on WTGZ, Tiger 95.9 FM, and on our Tiger Communications app. My name is JJ Jackson. Got a great crew with me today, Austin, Brooks, and Ryan, inside our studios here on South College Street. And boy, football season moving along, Auburn basketball off and running, and we are so thrilled to go back to our Auburn Bank phone line and bring on a good friend of the program, Jake Crane, the host of the J-Boy Show and the Volume Sports, kind enough to join us here on today's program. Jake, what's up, man?
Double J, what's up, man? It's always a good time when I can come on, and you're right. It's amazing how time flies during college football season.
I love it. It's an exciting time of year. I wish things were going better for our Auburn Tigers, of course, but they find themselves in an interesting position here going into the last two games of the season with TJ Finley at quarterback. First start at LSU last year versus the Gamecocks. He's going to make another start coming up this weekend. How do you think that's going to fare from TJ Finley's perspective?
You know, it's not like TJ's super inexperienced, like you said. I mean, this is the team he made his debut against last year. I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him. But look, you know, South Carolina, from a personnel standpoint, Shane Beamer inherited probably, out of all the new coaches outside of Clark Lee, probably the worst personnel. He's done a lot with it. I was surprised they didn't beat Missouri last week, especially coming off the way they played against Florida. But he's got them believing, and if Auburn goes out there and does what they did in the second half against Mississippi State and thinks they're going to roll their helmet out there and beat anybody, they're going to be sorely mistaken. So if they don't show up, South Carolina can beat them again for the second straight year. But it should be a good ball game. And look, TJ Finley's got ability. Interested to see how efficient he is. I don't think you'll see a huge change in the offense outside of maybe less quarterback design runs, even though there wasn't a ton with Bo, but they tend to do it in a bunch of clutch situations. How much zone read will you see as opposed to just normal zone, and then power and gap and counter and all that stuff? So I think it's going to be an interesting way to see how Mike Bobo plays it.
On the defensive side of the football for Auburn, how did you spin the outcome on Saturday? I know Brian Harsin was talking about how it was working in the first half, so they felt like they were able to stick to it in the second half, but we clearly saw no adjustments made, and Will Rogers had a heck of a day, tip of the cap to him. How did you see the defensive effort from Auburn?
Well, you know, it seems to me, and look, you know, Derek Mason's a guy that I know knows defense, but it just shocks me his struggle to make adjustments. I mean, when Auburn has played teams that run traditional offenses, you haven't seen a ton of problems with Auburn defensively. Whenever they play teams, and you look at Ole Miss, you know, who was very beat up when they came to play at Auburn, Matt Corral throws an interception in the end zone, had a few other things, not fluke plays, but stuff where it kind of really hurt Ole Miss, especially once they got to the red zone or got down the field really inside the 35 going in. He struggled to adjust, and to me, when you look at it, either one, you're not confident enough to do it, which I don't believe with Derek Mason. I mean, the guy's seen a ton of football. He's coached a ton of football at a high level. Or you're too stubborn. And to me, at some point, Derek Mason's going to start making adjustments in the second half. And you look at the way A&M plays, it fed right into what Auburn wants to do. But I still can't get over how he hasn't figured out Auburn is a four-down team. Auburn's not a three-down team. When you're running three-down stuff, you're doing it so you can have more guys in coverage and be a little bit stickier in coverage. And not only was Auburn rushing three, they weren't covering the underneath. So it just shocked me that Derek Mason won't make adjustments. And at the end of the day, if you're not going to make adjustments, you are going to get outcoached. Auburn got outcoached and outplayed in the second half. And look, you got to call it spade a spade. And if he struggles with South Carolina and then struggles with Alabama, Derek Mason may be in trouble, because we've seen Brian Harsin isn't afraid to let guys go. And it's not like Derek Mason was setting the world on fire at Vanderbilt. Even though I know he's a really good guy, that's great, but I'm not hiring you to be a high school counselor. You need to stop people's offenses. That's why you get paid this amount of money.
I mean, amen. Look, and obviously the adjustments were the biggest factor. It's just so confusing, Jake, because were we not singing the praises of Derek Mason a few weeks ago with some of the adjustments made in the second half versus Ole Miss defensively? And granted, Matt Corral had his health going and that sort of thing, but it felt like Derek Mason was making adjustments throughout the year, but for whatever reason on Sunday, or Saturday, excuse me, he felt pleased with Mike Leach dialing up great offense.
Well, if you you go back and again, look at the teams that Auburn has had success against defensively. They gave up 28 to Penn State. We know there was a big turnover that basically gave them a touchdown, so they gave up 21. Penn State runs a very traditional style offense. Texas A&M, very traditional style offense. Arkansas, extra traditional style offense. And then Ole Miss, because when I'm talking about making adjustments, it's having to go sometimes off script. It's having to do things outside of what the game plan had. Not that you're just inventing things, but you're able to go the well in other ways. And if you look, Auburn really didn't adjust a ton against Ole Miss because they were getting there with their four down stuff. But the fact that Auburn sits in a three down, they need to get out of it. It doesn't work in the long run. And it's funny, you know, like I said, you get in the three down to stop the pass. But when you're in the three down and you're getting gashed in the pass because they're making adjustments to your zone coverage, and then you go man, which is exactly what Mike Leach wants you to do. Ask LSU 2 years ago when they stayed in man and got absolutely torched. There hasn't been a ton of adjustments that Auburn has run. The best adjustment they've made, go to a four down. And for some reason, they don't want it. You go back and watch the A&M game. A lot of four down. A lot of four down. Not a lot of rushing three. So at the end of the day, look, you've got to be able to do it against offenses that just aren't, you know, your typical traditional pro-style offense.
Jake, let's address another issue that Auburn's been having, even for a longer time than maybe some defensive issues. It's the lack of a consistent running game. What do you think is going into that, and how can Auburn fix it?
Well, you can't 3D print a lead offensive lineman. And, I've talked about this for the past – Gus Malzahn put Brian Harsin in a terrible spot. When you don't sign a high school offensive tackle for 4 years in the SEC and you just try and use junior college and getting guys to transfer in and this, that, and the other, you can't build any depth or develop anybody. And look, the guys up front for Auburn play really hard. Nick Bromson play really hard, but they're not good enough players. Because at Auburn, you're expected to compete with Alabama and compete with Georgia and be able to say, listen, the pass game isn't working great. It's just like in college basketball. When the three-pointer's not falling, you got to be able to win in different ways. And Auburn doesn't have the guys up front right now, especially on the offensive line, to be able to say, you know what, we're just going to run it down your throat. I'll ask you guys a question. When's the last time you saw Auburn break a 40-yard run?
I couldn't tell you.
When have they done it? Because you don't have quality offensive linemen across the board. Auburn has a high-level group of five offensive line. Those guys would be studs at Liberty. They would be studs in the Sun Belt. They would be good in the American. You know, even though I know, you know, you look at the American a little bit different than some of the others. But you're not going to be able to consistently beat the defenses and be able to run the ball and achieve that balance or be able to run the ball when the pass game isn't working when you don't have NFL offensive linemen. Name one offensive lineman Auburn has that could start at Georgia. Name one that could start at Bama. Name one that could start at A&M. You're not going to find him. Bryce Foster, A&M's freshman center, is already better than Nick Brown is. He's already better than him. And that's the difference. That's why when you look at projecting these teams, like a Texas A&M, when they're getting the Walter Nolans, they're getting the five-star offensive linemen, they will be able to compete with the Alabamas and the Georgias. And that's Brian Hartson's biggest hurdle for me, in my opinion, to climb, is to be able to find offensive linemen good enough and win some of those battles to get elite offensive linemen. And at the end of the day, that's what it is. Physics is physics. Science is science. Gravity is gravity. It just is what it is.
Spitting facts here. Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show joining us here on the program on the Auburn Bank phone line. As thrilled to have him here with us talking Auburn football and other things across the SEC. So what do you think about the recruiting efforts so far of Brian Harsin? That's what fans want to go to, talk about their position in the SEC standings. I mean, what's the first step, Jake? How can you start to improve this?
Well, you know, I think he's made some steps. You look at keeping Eston Harris home, Drew Bobo. I know his dad's on the staff, but it seems like Auburn hadn't been able to sign a guy out of Auburn High in forever. And you get two offensive linemen. Braden Joyner's another guy. I know he's a little bit younger than the other two, but that kid is an absolute stud. He's a must-get. I think they've done a good job. Now, we'll see on signing day. But I tell you this, I know Darren Usher. I know those guys over there work as hard as anybody, and they're trying to change the culture, especially up front at Auburn, get bigger, get nastier. get more physical. I love Jeff Pittman, the strength and conditioning hire they made. I think that's one of Brian Harsin's best hire. So I think they've been doing a pretty good job, but we'll see after signing day. This class, in my opinion, will be judged a whole lot more on what happens up front than what happens out wide. And that's something that Brian Harsin's going to have to be able to do, Will Friend's going to have to be able to do, and it just takes a little bit of success to get the ball rolling. You got Tay Woody, who I know he said he's firm to Florida State. I don't know. I still think Auburn's got a chance there. There's a couple other guys out there that they need to be able to hit on and bring in. And then you look at the transfer portal. And there's a sneaky rule, too, guys, not a lot of people are talking about. They changed it, the NCAA. Now you can take 32 scholarship guys a year, not 25. It's kind of a catch-all for if you lose too many guys through the portal scholarship-wise, that they're giving you seven more to make up. That could be huge for Auburn. Do not be shocked if Auburn hits the portal harder than Raiden from Mortal Kombat to go find some offensive linemen.
Wow, that's awesome stuff. Jake Crane joining us here on the program. Hopefully this Auburn team can start picking up tons of commits moving forward, and we'll see what the team looks like going into 2022 and how these final two games of the season close out. All right, coaching carousel is something that everybody loves to talk about. Obviously, we saw the Fuente news a little bit earlier today. What's got to be the first move, Jake, you think, before things really start going? Or are we going to have to wait until these final two games of the season play out?
Well, you know, here's the thing that's funny. That was what my monologue was on the show today. You know, the timeline changed when they moved signing day up earlier in December. Because think about it. Back in February, you could let a guy coach the whole regular season, fire him, and then a guy has tons of time, a couple months, to come in and recruit, to put a staff together to go recruit. Well, now, most kids are signing in the December period. That's the new national signing day, not February. February is like the catch-all mat for guys that are waiting or guys that got to get grades or something like that. So the timeline moved up. So that's why I think you're seeing coaches getting let go earlier in the season, so they give time for those coaches to come in, be able to somewhat put a staff together, and go recruit. I would not be shocked if you saw a little bit of movement before the season was over. But the caveat to that is, if you're a place like LSU, you know, or if you're one of these higher-level places, you're not going out typically and hiring an FCS guy. You're hiring a guy from the Power Five to make a splash name, and most of the times the guys you want to hire are doing well that season, and they're still in the hunt. For example, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, Mel Tucker at Michigan State. Those guys aren't leaving week 8, week 9, week 10 to come to your program with 2 weeks left. So it's kind of finding that balance, because, again, we can't put every coaching search in the same cabinet. Everything is circumstantial. Some things are different. Timelines are different than others. But to me, I think you're going to see more firings before you typically see them at the end of the season. And the biggest question is the one you just threw out there. Will we see coaches make that jump? If Oklahoma loses this weekend and they're totally out of the playoff, would Lincoln Riley go to LSU the next week? That's something in this new era with the new signing day I've got to wait to see before I can comment on.
Do you think there are going to be any other openings coming in the SEC?
Yeah, I'm looking at Florida pretty hard. I think that's going to happen.
Why do you say that?
Just because, I mean, you know, with Dan Mullen, and going through this year, it had to be really bad for them to go. It's gotten really bad. And
right.
When you look at the trajectory of Florida, even compared to, let's not even talk about Georgia, look at the trajectory of Florida compared to Tennessee. I mean, if I'm a Florida fan over there and I'm looking at it, I'm looking at the players that, you know, you just fired the DC and the players didn't respond on defense and it doesn't look like you're playing hard and you're dancing in the locker room after beating Samford. The standard has changed, and I don't think Florida fans, and it's going to fly with them. I don't think it's going to fly for Scott Strickland. And Scott Strickland's a guy that knows Florida is a job that a lot of guys want. Florida is a job you can win at very quickly, just like LSU is. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Florida open up at all.
Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show joining us here on the program, one of our absolute best. Make sure you check them out at the J-Boy Show on Twitter. Jake, listen, I don't know the last time that you pinched yourself to make sure this isn't a dream, because you moved to Atlanta, the Braves won a World Series, you joined Colin Cowherd in the Volume Sports, you're now teammates with Draymond Green. I mean, you've got everything going on right now, Jake.
Yeah, man, I'm just waiting for Ashton Kutcher to pop out.
That's so cool that Draymond's joining y'all your network.
Is he there? Is Ashton Kutcher there with you? Is this when it happens?
That would be quite the surprise if I was able to pull that off.
Yeah, no, I mean, that'd be a pretty big move. But, no, I mean, I'm just, you know, very fortunate. It's our audience. I mean, without them, there is no us. I mean, the numbers have been crazy and the opportunities. And, you know, life's about timing and then taking advantage of opportunities when you get them. And we've done a show every day for about the past 6 months. So I feel like we've earned it. We've got a long way to go and some more great stuff coming. And, yeah, shout out Draymond. We're going to be getting him on soon.
That's awesome. That's going to be fun to be able to listen to that and see what he's got going with that show. What do you think about this Auburn basketball team 2 games into the season?
They've got a chance.
All right.
Bobby Smith, man. Woo! That guy is smooth. But look, when I look at Auburn defensively, I know they're going to be able to score, but man, they are longer than summertime in Alaska, man. I mean, you look at guys that are trying to drive, and you got to go through the redwoods of Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler, who I swear is 8'3", not 7'3".
Right.
but they've got a chance, man. They've got multiple guys that can score. KD Johnson is an absolute dog, a guy that can drive and finish. Wendell Green's a witch. You know, again, Jabari's the best player they got. It's just once Jabari Smith realizes he's the best player they have, that's what I want to see. When you start seeing him put up, like, he put up 23-10 like it was nothing.
Sure.
But like it was absolutely nothing. So, no, the sky's the limit for him. Very excited for Coach Pearl and Coach Pruitt and all the guys out there. They deserve it.
Jake, you're the best, man. We look forward to catch up with you again soon. Continue to be well. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you too, JJ. Appreciate it, man.